Welcome, travelers. I'm Josh.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Lee Wanika, and this is Tabletop Journeys, where we will be your not-so-humble guides on the quest for RPG adventures.
Here at Tabletop Journeys, we are all devoted role players and storytellers at heart, and we absolutely love sharing our passion with you. On our show, we feature diverse tabletop RPG systems, demonstrating them through actual plays and breaking down the rules to provide you with tips, tools, and techniques to help you navigate them. We also love bringing the content creators behind these games into the studio to give you a peek behind the curtain with relevant and insightful interviews.
Let us help you get the most out of your story, no matter what game world or system you're playing, because detailed settings, heroic characters, diverse NPCs, and a focus on story over rules can make any campaign legendary. Now, here's a message from friends of the show.
In a world headed for disaster, five strangers with mysterious pasts are thrown together by the winds of fate to try to stop the unseen forces that threaten to destroy their world. Join Kraval, a dragonborn with no memory and no past, who is the first of the barbarians of the mountains to be seen in 1,000 years. Cotter, a penniless paladin, running from something or someone in his past. No one, the only tiefling monk the kingdom has ever seen, who has been expelled from his monastery for reasons he has not revealed. Adri, his monastic companion, who hides some deep dark secret she cannot reveal. And Arlen, once a simple farmer, until some mysterious event manifested sorcerous powers in him. They must travel the length and breadth of the Kingdom of Faro, searching for the disparate clues that will help them unravel the mystery of the failing of their land, while trying to hold together the unraveling threads of society's weave threatening to come apart at any moment. They will have to battle nature, plague, politics, and even the forces of the underworld as they attempt to discover and defeat whoever, or whatever, is attempting to poison their world and throw it into chaos. Relic of the Past is a novel-length story told via a clean, custom, 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons game. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found, and at poolmedia.podbean.com.
All right, welcome everybody to what is the next set of episodes featuring Mr. Alex Vigna and Big Adventure Game. First of all, Alex, welcome back to Tabletop Journeys. It hasn't been that long since we spoke, but we're excited for kind of this next piece.
Yeah, good to be back a couple of days instead of a couple of years this time.
Exactly, yeah. So we're going to be diving into a playthrough of some playtest material for Big Adventure Game. This is the next part that follows after our interview last week on the show. Alex, before we get into character introductions, why don't you introduce what we're going to be doing tonight?
Yeah, thanks again for having me. So for anyone who missed the interview episode last time, Big Adventure Game is a D20-based fantasy system, like many great games before it, with a few twists. Worth noting up top that as of this recording, we are playing the beta version of Big Adventure Game. It'll probably be at least slightly updated by the time you listen to this. And you can read the books along with us by downloading them at spellbookgaming.com. It's free while it's in beta. Biggest thing to note is that unlike most classic games in the genre, Big Adventure Game has no class system. In its place, there's a long list of mix and matchable features, and mage characters can pick just about any spell. So this means that your characters can have very unique identities and gameplay styles that sort of sit between classic fantasy archetypes. Of course, you can still make traditional characters as well. There's no pro or con to that. You can still make a wizard, for example, but you won't be locked out of features and spells that don't have a traditional wizard vibe. Other big differences include a magic system that allows you to somewhat customize the effects of your spells in exchange for more magical energy. Player characters start out fairly adept, but don't ever become excessively powerful, making encounter balancing a little easier for GMs. On a similar note, the game is generally balanced around having 1 to 3 encounters between rests rather than 4 to 6. Additionally, the mechanics of the game make almost no assumptions about lore beyond magic and monsters of some kind exist. So GMs who love doing custom world building have lots of room to write. We'll dig into all those fun mechanical things as we play. But speaking of world building, Big Adventure Game does also have a official setting guide, Atlas of Crataris. If you don't feel like writing your own lore, you can just use that. Our game here will take place in the beta version of Crataris, so all of this lore and such is subject to change. You'll be able to see more stories in Crataris over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@spellbookgaming. So within the world of Crataris, we find ourselves in the human-dominated continent of Agrim, in the nation of Ibor, in its capital city, Imperia. Ibor was once an empire that spanned the whole continent and ruled every human for a time. In that time of imperial tyranny and such, the Iborians made their faith the only legal one, now known simply as the clergy. In the year 500, a mysterious blood moon rose, and monsters and magic came into the world. The stuff of legends and faith had become real, and some humanoids could now cast spells. This event made the world infinitely more dangerous, and with soldiers dying to monsters, the Iborian Empire slowly collapsed. While the empire fell, the clergy remained, establishing an inquisition that promised to keep the citizens safe from dragons, giants, demons, and, of course, witches. Human mages are forced to live out their youth in Waldorf schools run by the Inquisition, and must then spend their whole life under the watchful eyes of the clergy. Visiting elven and dwarven mages are watched with suspicion. Mages who escape the cities or are caught using magic for any remotely selfish or experimental reasons are labeled witches and declared outlaws and heretics. So that's most of the lore dump. We find ourselves in Ibor's capital, Imperia, in the year 999. This little story of ours will begin, as many great ones have, in a tavern. The Rusty Anchor is an inn and tavern a few blocks from Imperia's eastern docks. The party has just spent the night there and is finishing up their breakfast alongside sailors and local workers. Before the show, we debated doing character creation live. So this is one of the more interesting parts of the system, but it could take a while sometimes. So we're going to just kind of review everything on air, you guys built things in the order that the book goes. I know you guys like to roll initiative for the order that you talk in. That's a good tradition. Within Big Adventure Game's rules, using your characters, why don't we roll initiative? Game, it's a d20 plus your reflex stat and your sense stat.
Someone did their homework. I like this. All right.
I am reflex 3, sense 2 for a total of plus 5. So the slow guy goes quick, and I'm rolling my fan roll die now.
Yep. My fan roll die with my -1 initiative, I got a 12.
Okay.
I've got a plus 4 for my initiative, 2 and 2 on reflex and sense. And I rolled a 19 plus 4 is 23.
That's pretty good.
My 8 leaves me at a 13.
So yeah, that's definitely Glenn with the highest number. We'll just go in the order of the book as if we were making the character. Tell us your character's name, their lineage, describe them physically, and tell us what does that lineage get you. Lineage is our term for race, ancestry, species, whatever.
I am playing Zorn Arvalin, a forest elf, and that lineage grants me 30 feet of dark vision and plus 2 to my detection skill, increasing its max to 9 at the start and 12 total.
All right.
About 6 feet, fairly muscled, but not like...
Not a bodybuilder.
Yeah, not a muscular bodybuilder. Nah. He's not like Arnold. He's got chestnut hair and stormy blue eyes. And he dresses in like dark leathers and has a nice shiny breastplate. It's not that shiny because he needs to blend in the darkness, so it's probably dulled up with something.
Yeah. Nice and sneaky. So then step 2 of character creation is your attribute spread. And that largely determines like what your archetype of character is. So what are your attributes? What's your 2 or 3 best ones? And why did you pick them that way?
So my only 2 leads, because then it hits like the middle of the field. I've got a strength 5. And that is because I'm playing a martial character predominantly focused on melee weapons. And vitality 4 to affect my hit points so that I don't fall over like a paper tiger. Following that, I have a 2 in reflex, sense, and luck.
Not bad, not bad. And then likewise, step 3 is training points, your skills, how good you are at your skills. What are your best skills? Why did you pick those?
So my very best skill is medium melee, and that's because when we get to the feature that I selected, I wield longswords, plural. And my next highest skill after that is detection, because he is a monster hunter trained specifically to track down and kill dangerous foes. He needs to be able to know when they're sneaking up on him instead of him sneaking up on them. So he's got to have a good sense of his surroundings.
Very nice. And then do you have any spells or are you not magical?
I am non-magical.
All right, you get some extra HP, so we'll see what's more useful at the end of the day. Features you get, because we're starting at a sort of a higher level here, you have two features. Which features did you pick and why?
I chose dual wielder, specifically because the monster hunter I am creating dual wields longswords. It's like a take on a character I'm writing in a story. And with dual wielder, I can add my strength modifier to the damage of my offhand attack. I can use a melee weapon that's not light as my offhand weapon, which is what lets me dual wield the longswords. And a little bit of defensive bonus. I get the same bonus as a buckler when I'm defending. And I can draw and swap two melee weapons simultaneously. My other feature is quick attacker, so that when I make that second attack, it's not a disadvantage.
Why use one sword when two sword is option, right?
That's hot, Glenn. That's nice.
Next step would have been equipment. I think we've gone over that pretty well. You're a dual longsword kind of guy. You've got your armor. That's all well and good.
But also, just for the rest of my flavor, because sometimes the monsters are far away.
Right.
So he does have a large quiver-styled thing across his back with four short spears in it.
Okay.
And two handed axes at his belt. And a boot.
Nice.
All of which can be thrown, because we did right. Those skills as well.
And then the last step is your sort of identity and backstory and stuff. Anything interesting that you want to add there?
I think a little bit of Elvish Witcher vibe says it in terms of the Monster Hunter gig.
Very nice. Who is next?
That would be me.
All right. Starting at the top, back to physical description of your character, their name, and their lineage. What do we got?
Yeah, so I am playing Obinar, also known among his people as Obsidian, and he is a Stoneborn. He is a relatively short, at 5 foot, stocky individual at 300 pounds. Obinar has purple, almost gem-colored eyes, and as his name would indicate, he is obsidian in color. Certain parts of him are almost cut and chiseled. Think of obsidian chafed or chipped. Other parts are more dull in nature, so sometimes light will reflect, sometimes it doesn't. But because of just his general nature, he blends in and can be quite stealthy despite his build. He does identify as a he/him. He is, as I said, a strong and sturdy individual with strength of 3, reflex of 3, vitality of 2. He is definitely someone who's aware and knowledgeable about his environment with sense of 2. And he is a caster with a magic of 2, but he is not one who's well known for having the best luck at only 1 luck.
No one can be very good at everything. So we covered your attributes. That's good. Got kind of a spell sword, a gish character thing going on. That's awesome. Training points. What's your best skills? Why'd you pick those?
I personally just love ranged attacks, so I went with archery. And just on the flavor thing, I figure his bow is going to be large and heavy looking. It doesn't necessarily need to have any mechanical impact. Yeah. It's just the way it looks. His arrows are all stone arrowheads, that type of thing. But heavy shaft arrows, again, no real mechanical benefit. It's more about the look and the feel.
Yeah, totally.
Of a heavy character drawing a heavy bow, doing damage.
Okay, so that's great. You're a gish sort of character. What spells have you picked?
So I picked a few spells that I thought would be really cool for the type of character that's in the quote-unquote wild and good and aware of his environment. One of those is detect life. Basically, I'm going to be the one who can hunt things down, track things, know what's going where. I picked awareness so I can protect us at night when we rest or as we're going. If it comes up in game, awareness has some really cool things, and it's a nice duration. It's an 8-hour spell that'll have really nice benefits for our general protection. I also took cure. I can do a little bit of healing in that regard, as well as...
I'm glad somebody picked some kind of healing.
Yeah, and retribution. because I decided to go with a distance fighter, if somebody gets up close and actually hits me, I wanted the kind of spell that allows me to use a reaction to lay some additional hurt. If I'm using my bow, this allows me to kick somebody who's next to me as a reaction, right, get that extra hurt, so I don't necessarily need to de-weapon and re-weapon in order to be able to impact in that way. So I figured that would be a nice add-on to the build.
Nice. All good choices. And then features. You should have likewise two features. What do we got?
Yeah, so I have two features that I thought fit the ranged archery kind of motif. With archery being my best skill, I took sharpshooter as a feature and poke as a feature. So I'm going to hit more accurately. I am going to strike with more vim and vigor, so to speak. For the short guy that everybody actually probably expects to be the in-your-face frontline brawler, that's not this character, but he's still able to do that big brawler type of attack damage. He's just not doing it in your grill.
Right. Yeah, stacking features that have a good synergy. Yep. Then equipment-wise, I know you've said your longbow primarily. What kind of armor do we got? Any other interesting things in the backpack?
Nothing particularly interesting. I thought just that standard equipment that you would find with a ranger-styled character works well. I really wanted to focus more on the spells and his method of attack being against type than necessarily unique or particularly interesting weapon choices. In many ways, he's very standard, just against type.
And then last thing, any other like identity, backstory, flavor type stuff? I feel like you sprinkled it all around there, but if there's anything else you want to add.
I think in general, again, with the goal being to be against type, so to speak, this is the kind of character who one might expect to have that Ben Grimm curmudgeon way of interacting with the world, and this is the exact opposite. Not as goofy dumb as one might think of Drax or something like that, but definitely someone who's a little more quippy, a little more punny in the way that he interacts with others, but a jovial nice type without being overly aggressive, overly intimidating, just that kind of character who's, that's not really what I expected.
From the rock monster, man. Yeah.
Yeah. He's never going to be the bad cop, but at the same time, he wouldn't be particularly good at being the good cop because he's not smooth. He's got
some parts of it, Mark.
Of course, yeah. Like a stone.
Yeah. He's got
it. As you say, Obsidian is pretty smooth.
Yeah. Generally, yeah.
It is, unless cut sharp.
Very good. And then, Josh, that'll be you then. What do we got for name, physical description, lineage?
So I am playing Galal, who is a Drakeblood. In your setting, you said specifically that the Drakebloods or the dragon types are still human at their core. And so the way I pictured him is he's not very tall. He's fairly slight. So maybe 5'6", 5'7", probably 160, 170 pounds. So not a physically imposing individual, but any of you that know him know that he has, it almost looks like some scalar features that kind of creep up his neck and into his head, and they are white, nearly pristinely, perfectly like white as snow, so to speak, which may belie a little bit about what his particular draconic origin is. He's not particularly strong, but he is a well-read, well-studied alteration mage.
So you would have grown up probably in one of those schools for mages that are not the nicest place to live.
Absolutely. That we talked about earlier. And in fact, going a step beyond that, he's fairly comfortable in the natural and urban world. So I would imagine that a organization like that, which kind of so tightly controls magic use, probably has a need for people who go out into the world to find magic transgressors. And so he has probably either been trained for that sort of job or performed low-level easy jobs of that type.
Yeah, very normal work for a wizard in this world. Speaking of being a wizard, attributes spread. I assume you have a pretty high magic. What else we got?
Mind, magic, and luck are pretty much where all of my points went. The rest of them float to very much around zero or around that neighborhood. So
classic full-on wizard. Training points, likewise, what do we got?
Yeah, pretty much everything went into the mind category. So magic, monsters, nature, religion, technology. But he also has a lot of points in his sense skills. So detection, intuition, survival. He has a passive detection of 15. So again, he's very comfortable in that natural environment. But he also very much relies on his magic to go ahead and do anything. So
And speaking of magic, list off your spells, as yeah, there's so, a lot.
Yeah, again, he is an alteration mage. He has a variety of spells. He is known among his like cadre of exterior searchers as the Dream Broker, because he has a penchant for finding people who need to be corralled, and he can evoke fear in them. He can change the environment around them and create like nightmare scenarios to disorient them so that the more physically capable party members that he is with can get them under control. So he has evoke fear, he has control weather, he has vine grasp, he has wind blast, he has push pull, he has muffled sounds, altered appearance, he can dispel, he can also restore hit points, he has arcane beam as again another kind of offensive option away from his breath weapon. His breath weapon is cold based, yeah. And his resistance is to cold. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Nice, good variety there.
Yeah, yeah, very much kind of like a controller mage.
Yeah, so but my with favorite that thing, laser is backup.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about this is we didn't plan it. I said, after we got off the last time, Alex, I said to these guys in our chat, throw your character ideas in here. So, because there's only three of us, so we can make sure we wind up balanced.
Yeah.
None of us did it.
None of us did that. Two of us created our characters today.
But we still wound up with a solid front line, a ranged DPS, and a caster.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and specifically a control caster at that too, especially with push-pull. That was one thing when we talked before that I was like, oh, it's like push-pull, like my ability to go ahead and take someone and be like, wait, you're not going to be there, you're going to be there instead. I think that kind of, I see that coming
You'll find uses for it, I imagine.
Yeah.
With these encounters I have lined up.
You just keep moving them in front of my swords.
Pretty much, exactly.
Yeah, you deal with that.
Exactly, you know.
Couple other things. Equipment, I assume not heavily relying on it, but what do we have?
For the most part, my equipment build is very simple. The exception is that he has a dagger, much like the scales that you can see on his torso and neck. He has a dagger that seems to be made of a pure white metal. It's not made out of steel or iron like it normally is. Mechanically, it's made of an exceptional metal. So,
okay, nice.
Other than that, he has a chain shirt, but basically that's where all of my money went, was in increasing my dagger and buying some armor. So that's,
yeah, well, if you don't have a lot of points in vitality.
You're right. And I figured like, this is a one shot, so like, I don't need money.
Yeah. And then we've talked a little bit about how you would have grown up, but anything else you want to add about identity, backstory, favor, and such?
Only that the kind of the role that he is employed for, there are all types that kind of, like, some of them do it begrudgingly, sometimes whatever like that. He is enthusiastic about his job. Like, he firmly believes in the mission that the church is setting out to go ahead and make sure that this rogue magic does not pollute things. So he is an enthusiastic arm of the church.
Interesting. We'll see how that plays. Like I said, it's Ibor. It's the capital city of Imperia. It's the year 999. It is a small inn and tavern known as the Rusty Anchor. Early in the morning, you guys are just wrapping up your breakfast. The three of you have been traveling together for a couple weeks, couple months, maybe taking on odd jobs for the church and otherwise in and around Imperia. And you're just catching up. If you guys want to have any in-character banter before I interrupt you with plot, you may do so if you want to find your voice and all that. If you just come off a job, but you're well rested and you're ready to look for something new.
You would find that in the mornings, Galal wears a very fine robe. Like, he does, he's not wearing his armor first thing in the morning, but he has that air about him. He is not charismatic. He firmly believes that he's like the best person for the job that he is being asked to do, and that other people should very much be catering to him in some level. So he's a turd to be around, but he's got you guys good jobs. So, you know, there's that. I don't think we've been lifelong friends.
Hey, Galo, one of these days, something's going to happen before breakfast is over. You're still going to be just sitting around in your finery.
Not with such talented companions. I think that I would let you handle any true threats that come to me that hour of the day. It's far too early for such fisticuffs.
I ain't saying that I wouldn't step in front. Mind you, that's what I do, but I can't say I wouldn't necessarily get blood on your fancy clothes.
That's fine. Fancy clothes are meant to get bloody every once in a while. That's why there are talented launderers and laundresses spread throughout the kingdom.
But if you trip over your robe sash there that's a little loose in the back, you're going to break your nose.
Oh, Don't worry about me. I appreciate the concern, Obinar, but really, I'm at my best when I'm out of armor anyway. That's really more of a necessity. Sometimes worth the hindrance and sometimes not. And certainly, before eggs and road bacon, it is not worth the necessity.
You squishies really do like your road bacon.
We do, we do. Are you going to eat that, by the way? Is that...
I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to smell it a lot. It smells really good.
I'd be happy to eat it for you. I wouldn't want it to go to waste.
I think I'll quote the person at the table over there the other night. Touch my bacon, lose your finger.
Before this can come to blows. You hear a bit of commotion outside. It sounds like some running. It's very muffled by the thick stone walls of this old tavern. And after a few seconds of that, a lone guardsman of the Inquisition, young man wearing a chain shirt and is carrying a spear and a shield, busts through the door, and he's out of breath. He's stressed looking. And you notice that even though it's a pretty warm day today, he's got some frost and some rime on one side of his arm and his chest. And he busts in, takes a couple labored breaths after having run in here, looks around the room, sees you guys as the only fighter types around, points at you, says, "You folks, please, could really use a hand. Some sort of ice beast has run into the basement here via the door outside. He's wounded a few others. We could really use a hand from you folks. Well, we'll pay you, of course."
Zorn chuckles, throws back the last of his small ale for breakfast, scoops the rest of his eggs onto a hunk of bread, and around a mouthful mumbles to Galal, "Hold ya," as he heads for the door.
Oh, yeah. I take up the bacon and I put it in a napkin as well, and I put it in a pouch after getting a little bit of the grease and wiping it under my nose. Oh, yeah, I know.
I very politely just take my napkin, place it over my plate, and I'll be back. This won't take long.
Are you going to change?
Let's assess the situation first, and
okay,
we'll decide if I need my armor. Welcome to the middle of the show. We wanted to take a minute and thank the people who helped make this show possible, our Patreon supporters. We like to shout out our adventurer-level Patreons, so extra big thanks to Chad Bean, Joe Harney, Dave Rideout, Adam Scaramella, and Marty Napier. Patreon supporters get exclusive content, free copies of all of our published and unpublished game supplements, early access to episodes, and free invitations to our monthly games. You can learn more at www.patreon.com/ttjourneys.
Speaking of our published material, have you checked out all the supplements we have on DM's Guild? We have two full books there, The Traveler's Guide to Collaborative Worldbuilding and The Traveler's Guide to the Multiverse. And you can combine that with all of our other supplements to help you make your next role legendary. Go to www.ttjourneys.com/DM's Guild for more information.
If you're looking for Tabletop Journeys swag or need a fantastic set of new dice, you should check out Tabletop Journeys Spring Store and our affiliate, FanRoll Dice. You can make your first purchase through FanRoll at 10% off, and every purchase there helps support the show. You can learn more about that at www.ttjourneys.com/FanRoll. And if you want to get some awesome t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and other gear, check us out at www.ttjourneys.com/swag. You'll get redirected to our spring store, and there you'll see all the cool designs and great things that we have to offer. These are the same vendors that we use for our add-ons when we do Kickstarters, and we stand behind their products.
But the best way you can support the show is to join in the conversations we have all over the internet. Did you love one of the episodes? Did you disagree with something one of us said? Do you wish we would cover more of your favorite game system? We would love to hear it all. Check out our social media links at linktree/ttjourneys. That's linktr.ee/ttjourneys. We can't wait for you to join the conversation.
We hope you're enjoying this week's show, so here comes the second half. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it, and if your platform allows you to leave a comment or a rating, why not hit the button and show us some extra support? Thanks again for listening. Now on with the show.
All right. He motions to you to go forward so he can follow you out. I'll take the rear.
All right. So, yeah, you follow the guard outside, just walk around to one of the sort of like basement hatch doors.
I'd like to snatch his bacon before we head out the door.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you want to hide that action? Or
no, I'm going to try. Yeah, I just think it'd be a good way for me to get my first roll in before I throw a weapon at somebody. I figure stealth, maybe?
Yeah, I'll call that stealth. Yeah, that's not fine motor so much. It's more stealth. Go ahead.
All right. So I am plus 4 to that. I'm just rolling a d20 and then... plus 7, actually.
Yeah, d20, so, reflex training.
Oh, that's not a great number, but that's going to be an 11.
So my passive detection is 15.
So you notice this.
Notice he took it. He wasn't slick.
Yep.
And of course, he scarfs that and he keeps his own bacon for later.
Guess you
so
got
the guard and I, who are already outside and about to enter the basement, while they're still gathering themselves, deciding whether or not they need a wardrobe change.
So yes, eventually, bacon consumed and hidden, you walk out around to the outside of the building and swing open the door. Glenn, I assume you're our frontliner. You'll be going in first alongside this young guardsman. The two of you together go down the stairs, bust open the door at the bottom, and you find yourself in a small, dim cellar. And packed earth floor, stone walls, very little light in here. And ahead of you, sure enough, is the aforementioned ice beast. It is a large creature in game terms. It's a 2x2. And it is roughly humanoid in shape, stocky, wide, and its head is just scratching the ceiling in this place. It's probably 7 or 8 feet tall. There's a few sort of crates and supplies for the inn down here in the basement as well. And so, you bust the door down, run in, monster, roll initiative.
All right.
That was cocked.
17 plus 4 is 21.
Very nice.
5 plus 5, I am at 10.
Okay. Actually brings up an interesting rule that I'll come back to in a second.
Yep, 17 for me.
We actually have a tie in the initiative. Luvinica has tied with one of my guys. The way ties work in Big Adventure Game is anytime there is a tied roll, that's one of the things that the luck stat is used for. We both roll a d20, we add our luck, and the result of that breaks the tie, for initiative at least. So let me roll plus this NPC's luck. I did pretty bad. I've got a total of a 4 there.
I have a total of a 4, so that's a double tie.
We roll again. 21.
I rolled a nat 1.
All right, so... you've been demoted from 10 initiative to 9.9 on my spreadsheet. Glenn, Zorn will be the first to act. What would you like to do?
So Zorn claps the young guardsman on the shoulder and says, "Ha, you didn't tell me it was a biggin. I like the biggins." And strides forward 5, 10, 15 while drawing both longswords and attacks. So with my first attack, that is a 15. My longsword skill...
that'll be medium melee.
It's medium melee. Is 12.
Okay, yeah, you hit him. That'll do. Go ahead and roll damage. That'll be a D8 plus strength.
D8 plus strength. So 3 and 5 is 8.
Okay. Yeah, so you slash across it. Some small chips of ice. That seems that slashing damage is perhaps not the best option here, but it is doing some damage.
That's what I've got available. If at first you don't succeed, try again, and I give him my... free attack with my offhand weapon for dual wielding.
Go ahead.
4 and 12 is 16.
Let me see. That is his armor. I should have said this earlier. The way most ties work in Big Adventure Game is that whenever there is a clear attacker and defender, as there is when you're swinging a sword at someone, ties always go to the defender. So since you've matched his armor with your attack, that is a miss. Okay. Or a scrape, perhaps, on the ice.
That one doesn't quite penetrate his ice.
Not really, no.
But then we throw out our second attack without disadvantage because of the quick attacker feat.
You have a feature, yep.
For 8 plus 12 is 20.
That'll do, yep.
For another 8 damage.
Okay, likewise, another good chip in there. It's working. And that being your turn, it is then Josh's turn. Galal, what does he do?
His swords ain't that effective, so I'll keep him busy. You guys take him down.
Did anyone bring fire?
Of course not. I'm a cold mage. Why would I have been? So can I move through Liwanika, or do I have to act from back here?
You'll have to act from back here. Otherwise, what you could do is hold your action. But certain spells, as long as you can see the target, you don't need a projectile, depending on what you want to do.
So
Unless if it's a sphere, he doesn't need line of sight. A line.
Yeah. Generally with the spell, as long as you can see the target, you're good. But if it's like a lightning bolt, obviously, that would be a problem.
Yeah. The spell that I was going to use then isn't going to work because I was going to use Vine Grasp, right? Which would basically send out a vine and pull the creature towards
me. The pulling effect would have difficulty in this arrangement because of people in front of you.
I want him to be in front of me so that I can then attack him, but that's not going to work. So instead, I will just use Arcane Beam. Let's see. Arcane Beam, I think, is just a straight-up attack.
No, that one is... That's like a lightning bolt. It's like an area line saving throw. You could, if you want to, use the spell modification system to apply safe to it to exclude your friends.
That's probably not a bad idea. Let loose a beam of unfiltered creatures caught in the area must make a reflex saving throw. However, let's see. I am going to do that. I will use safe.
What you're going to do is for the audience, you're going to spend
two additional
spell points to cast your spell, and thus it will warp around your two allies in front of you and blast just the ice elemental. Cool. I make a reflex save for that.
You need to make a reflex save versus 18.
What do you know? That's a grand total of zero.
Fabulous.
It's a big ice guy.
So it's going to do 4d10 plus 5 damage.
Yep, that's a big one.
Yep.
A raw magic damage, which pretty much nothing is resistant to. Nothing vulnerable to it either, but hey.
32 points of raw magic damage.
Ouch, that is a huge chunk of this thing's HP. Your big beam of blue energy swirls around your big Kamehameha blast, loops around your friends, zips around their heads, and blows a circular hole through this thing's chest. Excellent. And that's a full action to cast, and you're limited on movement here.
Yep, it is. No, that's fine. So basically, he's like looking at his nails, and he goes, "Whap!"
Yeah.
Like, I've got bacon grease.
Finger guns.
Fingers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At the end of your turn, it is Big Ice Guy's turn. He is going to attempt to use his big ice fists to punch Zorn, who is right in front of him.
That is not nice.
That is a 22 to hit, so I think it's a fair assumption that is, yes, a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty meaty hit. So that's 11 blunt damage plus 6 cold damage. So if you're not immune or resistant or whatever to any of those, that's just a total of 17.
Ouch.
That's got to hurt.
The ice elemental does not have the quick attacker feature, so it is just going to attempt to punch again, but it will do so at disadvantage because it's just swinging wildly. That is a 13 on the other one?
Nope, my armor is a 16.
Okay, and you are safe. It punches you, you bend down a little bit in pain, and then it swings over your head.
There's enough damage that bits of Zorn come flying back at you guys when he hits.
Yeah, you're going to have to maybe use one of those healing spells later.
I just got blood on your fancy robes.
So that is the ice elemental's turn. It's not going to move. Then it is Luminika Obinar's turn.
Obinar is seeing what's going on. He's going to move to this position.
Okay, bit of a flank.
Yeah, way to clear the stairs and get over to the side.
And I assume this, if I crouch, gives me some kind of cover, maybe?
Yeah, like the pole holding up the ceiling. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm going to move to that position so I can fire and at it cleanly. I will use archery.
Yep.
Let's see. My range is increased because of sharpshooter. When I make an aimed attack.
You have to worry about range in your small room.
It was more about if I aim, I don't have disadvantage.
Yeah, so an aimed attack is a thing where you can aim at a specific body part. So I want to shoot them in the leg to slow them down. I want to shoot them in the head to do more damage.
Okay.
This thing doesn't really have a head per se, but
all right.
You get disadvantage, and if you hit, there's a bonus effect. But you can overcome that a couple times.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. So I'm just going to make my standard attack.
All right, normal longbow attack.
And that is a 17 to hit.
That just hits.
Okay.
And give me damage.
Damage is going to be 1d8 piercing.
Plus strength,
so 1d8 plus 3. And then with poke, I'm reducing their AV by 2 because I have poke, by the way.
All right, so chip his armor a bit.
And I do an extra d6 of damage, so I'm going to do 1d8, 1d6 plus a total of 3. For 8 points of damage. Oh, it's only when I didn't aim, so never mind that.
Yeah, that's not an aim set.
Yeah, so the D6 is not there, so that's going to be a 4 and 3, 7 points of damage.
Okay. Your arrow sticks in it, and a big piece of it chips off. You've weakened its armor. It's not looking good, but it's still up. You can use your second quick action to attack, or you can do something else with it.
Now, because of the loading property of the bow, would
I using a longbow or a crossbow?
Longbow.
Then you can just shoot again.
Excellent. All right. Same
It'll thing. Be a disadvantage because it's two attacks in a turn is disadvantage, but yeah.
Yep. Disadvantage. We are... Ooh, that's not going to hit him, I bet. That's going to be a 10.
No, you... Your arrow sticks into one of the wooden posts, and that'll be your turn. Then it is our Inquisitor Guardsman friend. He's going to also move to flank, and he's just going to make a poke attack with his spear. I've rolled very poorly. That's unfortunate. And then he'll actually just use his other action to defend. He's just going to post up with his shield, because he's already a bit beat up from earlier. But then we go back around to the top to Zorn's turn again.
All right. Zorn is shaking off the blow from the last round, and does a nice spin move, laying into him with all blades again.
Yep.
First attack, 18 and 12 is 30.
Yeah. Huh. I will save you the time. It has one hit point left.
I did 10.
Yeah. 10 is more than one. So very good.
So with my cool spin move, I lop off its head and say, and that's how it's done, boys.
And then it falls to pieces. It is now just some mundane ice that will be melted in short order. And as that happens, not Zorn, because you're right there next to it, but the other two of you, if you could roll a detection check for me.
That's a 16.
That's a 13. Good.
Okay. Galal, from the back of the room, since you're a little bit further back, you feel like you heard some movement or something. We're out of initiative now. Movement or some breathing from this sort of side room off to the side of the cellar. The door is closed.
Okay. So I would gesture to these two. Yeah. So I wave to get your attention, and then I point at the door, gesture towards the door. The door open in or out?
It would open in.
I'm going to move so I can
shoot in
and post up at the door, and I'm going to signal that I'm ready, lifting one hand and a thumbs up, and a nod, and a wink that just looks awkward and weird.
Very good. So, yeah.
Zorn mouths at you. Are you hitting on me?
I'll point at the Inquisitor and gesture at him and then point at the door aggressively. Get over there and open the door.
So he looks back at you guys setting up this ambush, and he doesn't speak it out loud, but he mouths and he says, possibly a witch who summoned the monster.
Zorn shrugs and gestures at the doorknob with his sword anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
My arrow is knocked.
Yeah. Do you want the Inquisitor to open the door?
Yeah. Want the unnamed NPC to open the door? Yes.
He has a name.
And then get out of the way. Yeah, he doesn't have to go in.
It's Inquisitor.
He kicks it in, points his spear, and on the ground in front of you is a young woman in the robes of the school, crouched with her hands up in surrender. And she just got her hands up like, you got me, fine. Just please, don't stab me.
I recognize that she probably does not speak this, but just in case, in etheric, I will say, what are you doing here, child?
She speaks back to you in broken etheric, which for context for anyone listening is the language of the gods and angels and devils, the old Latin type language. She speaks back to you in broken etheric, and she basically says, trying leave.
But why?
And the Inquisitor points back at you and says, no secret wizard conversations. That's not allowed.
Let me do my job. She's from the school.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to be intimidating or persuasive?
I'll intimidate the hell out of him, yeah.
All right. I hate to see you laser ice monster today.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah, that's an 18.
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
So he actually backs up from her and then lets you take the front.
One does throw in from the side. I'm not exactly concerned about secret conversations, but it'd be nice to understand what was being said.
You guys don't happen to all share a non-common tongue, do you?
Oh, no, with my mental prowess, I speak common, and it's not that great.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. As a Stoneborn, you'd speak common and dwarvish because the dwarves woke them up. But yeah.
Yeah. I'll switch to common. That. What do you mean you're trying to leave? Where would you be trying to go?
Well, away from the ice monster makes sense.
One of the other students and I, we got these letters of people saying they could free us, take us to somewhere where we could live on our own, away from them, gesturing at the Inquisitor. Well, I don't know who it was from.
That is That's not the way this works, child.
I know, but I don't know. You understand.
I do understand. My understanding is not at question here. I think perhaps you should bring us to your friends and so that we can try to help them.
My arrow is no longer knocked. Sure. I put my bow over my shoulder.
Yeah, she's quite surrendered.
And I raise my hand. I don't understand.
I'll turn back to my stony friend. She has received some sort of scam missive that's promising her freedom and wealth far from here, far from the watchful, supporting embrace that we offer. She's just been misled.
Oh,
isn't that right, child?
She was hornswoggled.
Indeed.
I feel bad for you, little one.
Surely.
And of course, she's probably far taller than he is, but.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
She's spleeny, so she's little to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a teenager, young adult in the upper years of the school. And she's like, yes, please. And she just bows down. Forgiveness, please. I'll go back. Just don't hurt anyone else.
No need to be afraid.
I only hurt monsters.
You've told us of your confusion. We can forgive and forget and perhaps not even report that such a thing has happened. But really, we should go and find your friends and make sure that they're okay.
I nudge Zorn. How do we forget?
Not to worry, Obana. Just give it a few moments. It'll happen all on its own.
I don't forget anything that I learn.
Exactly.
The stone never forgets what was once upon it.
Child, do you have the letter?
Yes. Yeah, you're trying to convince her to tell you where she's supposed to meet her friends.
Absolutely.
Either, again, intimidation or persuasion, depending on how scary you want to be about it. But seems like you're trying to go slightly nicer here.
I mean, it does seem like I'm trying to go slightly nicer. However, I have no persuasion skill whatsoever. Sure. So everything, all of this honeyed word has a tinge of intimidation to it.
Right.
What's right, child.
She gets it. Yeah.
Veiled threats. Obinar doesn't get it. He thinks he's being the nicest guy in the world.
That's a 10 to...
Okay. Yeah. We got in the way of hero points.
6. I have 6 hero points. Should I re-roll that?
Up to you. No, so you don't hero points, you don't re-roll, you just spend them to add on top of. So if you wanted to have a +6, you would spend all 6 of them. They're pretty small. Up to you if you want to spend them here or not.
So how does a 10 kind of rate in terms of what it would normally like where is that
low
on the scale?
It's pretty low. Yeah.
Man, I don't want to spend, because how does one regain hero points? Is that something that comes back at a rest, or
that's on a rest unless you have a specific feature or something that restores them.
All right. I'll spend 5 of them. Okay. So I will keep one in reserve, but I'll push that from a 10 to a 15.
All right. 15, I'll say we'll do it. Yeah. She's all right, fine. They said for us to meet them at a ship on the eastern docks with blue sails. That's all I know.
I like blue.
Do you have the letter, child? I would like to examine it. I suspect it has some sort of magic imbued in it. It needs to be reviewed.
I don't have it. I burned it.
That's probably that.
Isn't that your ticket?
That's probably for the best. If there is some inherent magic in it, burning it is the safest way to dispose of it, child. You did well. You did well. You should run back to your barracks now.
I have a question. If they were asking people to go to a ship, don't they need their letter as to mark their passage? It doesn't make sense that she would burn her passage. Are you sure you don't have it hidden somewhere?
Would you like to make
like to hide things?
Like an intuition check if you want to figure out if she's lying or not?
Yeah, I'll do that. It's not my specific
if you don't buy
skill set.
It. Yeah.
But it just doesn't make sense to me. And you're going on a ship, you need a ticket. She's got to have it somewhere. I'm not doing well. So no, I did not find anything. That's another natural one.
Zorn puts his hand on your shoulder and says, Obinar, could you do me a favor? I think I saw this big hunk of ice shift a minute ago. Would you just come over here and just watch that real close while we talk in case it gets back up?
I am watching it. It was melting a bit, so it shifted as it slid down the other ice. But thank you. I'm always watching.
Before you run off, what's your name, child?
Varania, sir.
Yeah, and who do you study with?
Master Gallus at the Academy, at the Arcanum. in town.
Did he give you the letter?
No. He would never.
Oh, who gave it to you?
She said she didn't know earlier.
Oh.
He forgot. It's okay.
Well, just...
I didn't forget. I didn't learn it the first place. I never forget. Never forgets what was once upon it.
Like I said, Valenia, I would be happy to consider this a misunderstanding, something purely led you astray. If Master Gallus has any questions about your whereabouts or the condition under which we found you...
As you're offering this piece, a bunch of additional inquisitors march down into the basement. A captain, by the looks of one of them, nicer armor, so he would outrank you. And then three more of the sort of normal guardsmen. And he steps up and he says, "Gentlemen, thank you for capturing this escaped witch. Guards, take her back to the Arcanum. You know the sentence for this. And unless you want to start some beef."
I do think... severe. Gentlemen, I really do think that this is just a misunderstanding.
You better put on your bamboozled face.
I think that this misunderstanding may come with some information that could help you get to the source of the transgression, as opposed to picking on the lowest rung.
Low-hanging fruit.
He looks at you. You think she could lead us to the organizers of this breakout?
I think that she already has, and that perhaps for revealing this information, we should treat this misunderstanding like exactly what it is and let Miss Valenia return back to her barracks without further harassment.
Persuasion, please. Not intimidation.
You could always make sure that she helps you in the future, too.
I don't have any training points in it. So it's just a naked 20.
It's just charisma. Yeah.
That's a
14, and if they seem persuaded.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He rubs his chin and thinks about it for a moment. Yeah, you can keep your hero point. He rubs his chin and thinks about it for a moment. And he's like, "We'll go easy on this one." Nonetheless, he gestures at his guards. "Take her back home, if you would, gently." And they do put on her what you recognize to be anti-magic handcuffs.
Yep.
But nonetheless, they do it nicely in front of her, not aggressively behind her.
As they walk her out, I do make sure that I catch her eyes and that she sees the look of like deadly seriousness. "You owe me." On my face. If you want me to make an intimidation roll, I will absolutely do that. But I want her to understand.
No, I think that's fine. That's fine. As a role play note.
I'm going to flip a hood up over her head so that she's not recognized by people out in the street, so she can return to life normally. But I'll say, "Have a good day, Veronia." I never forget names. And when my friend asks me, I'll remember.
And she's, "Thank you for not shooting me."
"Oh, you're not a monster." "As long as you're not a monster, or they don't tell me you're a monster, I won't shoot you."
Captain.
Yeah, real quick, just as a note, as the three guards who came in with him take her out, he gestures to the one who fought alongside you, who took that wound before we started. He looks at him, puts a hand on his shoulder, says, "You've done well. Go back to the barracks. Get yourself patched up, all right?" And he's like, "Thank you, sir." And he looks back to you guys. He says, "Thank you for the assistance. Hopefully we meet again under better circumstances." And
Thank you for the assistance. Really, we couldn't have done it without you.
"You're a hero."
He politely bows his head and takes his leave. And so then the captain turns to you guys and says, "Gentlemen, you've certainly earned a fee for this, but if you'd be so kind, I'd like to offer you..."
I was already planning on following up on the information that I had, but certainly we would do it for coin and not for free.
"Nonetheless, it is policy to reward those who aid the church, and I would like for you to accompany me to this meeting place that they were going to. The few of my men have been injured. There's a few other escaped mages running about. But if they're all meeting at one place, hopefully we can deal with them there, and you seem capable folk."
"Yeah, I suspect that there is some sort of influence from afar that is polluting their minds. I'm curious to find out what the root of this evil is."
"Likewise. Where is this meeting place?"
"We can go there now, but I should get changed first. And he owes me bacon."
It dawns upon him that you're indeed not wearing armor.
"Yeah, he's like, I'm wearing like a silk mask."
Indeed you should. Yes.
Without even missing a beat, he chomps a piece of bacon that he had, and he looks at Zorn and says, "So we're going after the bamboozlers?"
"So it would seem. But Our fearless leader here has to go and put on proper clothing. You'd almost think somebody keeps telling him to get dressed when he gets up.
You know the rule. Britches before witches.
Exactly.
Would getting dressed qualify as no physical stressful activity?
I think so, yeah. If you guys want to call it a short rest.
Even if they don't want to take a short rest, I will take 30 minutes to get dressed and prim and pam. Yeah.
So in a short rest, then, what hit point recovery options do I have? Can I talk either of my magic using gentlemen that might recover spell points into, say, healing me before we do this?
Short rest is 30 minutes of downtime. Nothing intense. Running, climbing, combat.
Just, how many spell points do you get back for a short rest?
Yeah, at the end of a short rest, you gain HP equal to your vitality, minimum of 1. Spell points equal to magic.
So I'll get back 2. So yeah, I can apply a cure to Zorn.
Please do.
Cure is just actually, for conditions.
Cure is only conditions, so I can't give you hit points.
You need to use Restore to do HP.
Yep. So we have no healing. Fantastic.
I have Restore.
But you used a lot of spell points. So.
I did lose a lot of spell points. Let me see how many spell points does Restore.
It's only 1. It's a D6 plus 2 at base.
All right. That's fine. I will restore you. It's nice. 3 plus 2, so 5.
Awesome. That gets me much, much happier. Because yeah. That hit for 17 sucked.
Yeah.
Getting punched by a nice elemental is not the funnest.
But once Zorn is half out of the earshot of the captain and Gallo, he does mumble something about, I hate the f***ing humans in there. Politics about magic. Damn near slavery it is.
Join us next week for part 2 of our actual play of Big Adventure Game. Thank you for joining us. This has been Tabletop Journeys. We would love to hear your feedback on our show today. Join us at www.ttjourneys.com, where you can subscribe to the blog to leave comments and see all the content that we publish beyond the podcast.
You can also stay in touch by subscribing to our Twitter, Tumblr, or Instagram at TT Journeys, joining our Facebook group, Tabletop Journeys, or by sending an email directly to podcast@ttjourneys.com. Our full episodes come out every week on Friday, and every Tuesday features actual play and gameplay showcase episodes. Looking for early access? You can support the show and get episodes before everyone else at www.patreon.com/TTJourneys. Check it out today and see all the awesome benefits we bring to our supporters.
Lastly, if you're listening to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podchaser, Spotify, or Audible, you would really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe to the podcast on that platform. Thank you for listening and for being a part of our growing community. And we bid you fair tides, friends, for Legends awaits.